Praise God. I missed being in service with you guys last week, but you had an awesome church service. And if you didn't know, I was giving my daughter away in marriage. And so I came back with a son-in-law and a head cold. So it was wonderful. And but I'm glad to be back. Actually, I'm glad to have a snowstorm. It makes me feel like we actually do live in Wisconsin. And it reminds everybody that if you can't take it, you need to live somewhere else, like in California. And I just enjoy the snow. And if it's going to be cold, I want snow. But I don't like being barricaded by snow in your, you know, house and stuff. You got to be able to get out. But this is the beginning of a new series today. And I've been looking forward to this series for quite some time. It's on hearing God's voice, focusing on God's voice. That first message of 2024 really is focusing, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And in order to do that, we've got to hone in and hear God's voice. That's a big part of it. One of the major questions that I get as a pastor, this is not just unique to me, but I think pastors everywhere get this question often. Is this God speaking to me? Is this God's voice? How do I know God's voice? Pastor, I want to know what God wants me to do in this time or that time. Has anybody here ever wondered what God would say or what God would have you do? And you're really asking that question. I want to know what God would say. This is a popular question. I think this is why many people even come to church. They just want to know what God says about their marriage or kids or whatever. This whole sermon series is going to address a lot of those kind of metrics. How do we actually hone in and hear the voice of the Lord? How do we guard against the things that keep us from hearing God's voice? Anybody want to learn how to keep your open door to the Lord open and not close it? I want to know that. Because if you've been walking with the Lord for any amount of time, you get to these places where you feel like, man, God's not speaking to me. Or I don't know what he's saying. Well, what do you do in those cases? You've got to open up those doors and hear God, and you've got to be able to speak to God with confidence, and we're going to address that in this series. But in order to get this whole thing kicked off, I want to turn to a section of Scripture, and this is probably the very first key section of Scripture, and we'll refer to this probably through the whole series. Turn with me to John chapter 10. There are 15 times in the New Testament alone where Jesus uses this phrase, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let them hear. I got ears. You got ears. Let's hear the voice of the Lord. In John 8:47, it says, this is what Jesus says. He says, he who is of God hears God's words. If you're of God, you're going to hear his words. But here's what's important out of the 10th chapter of John. This is why it's our key section of Scripture. Turning to verse 3 first, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
When you say amen to that, you're meaning this, by name. You as an individual can hear God's voice. It's important. You don't need a priest to hear it for you. You can hear God's voice. This is so good. This is empowering. Let's turn to verse 8. All who come or who came before me are thieves and robbers. There's no other way but Jesus. There's no other way but Jesus. But the sheep did not hear them. This is important too. We are not going to listen to another leader. This is just God's going to be our leader. We're going to listen to his voice. It's a very important conviction, especially in today's climate. You cannot be swayed by popular opinion and all these other things. You have to hone in on the voice of the Lord and listen to his voice. Let's go to verse 16. Verse 16 says this, I have other sheep. You got to do this. This is like old school preacher stuff. Turn to somebody near you and say, you are other sheep. Because everybody in this room, except for our dear worship leader, we're Gentiles. She's the only Jew in the house. And so I'm telling you, we're the Gentiles. We're the other sheep. That's what we are. And it says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they're going to hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. So Jews and Gentiles will come together under the leadership of one shepherd, Jesus, King of kings, Lord over all things. And every one of the sheep, both Jews or Gentiles, will have this common denominator. They hear God's voice and they listen to him. Here in this room, you're God's sheep if you're hearing his voice and if you're listening to him. And this is why we're talking about it in this year, because I believe this is a year that is critical to focus on the Lord so we can truly be water walkers. And but we've got to hear his voice. And John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Come on, this is where it gets very personal. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Come on, you got to know Jesus. It's not knowing about him. You have to know him. I don't know Jordan Love, so it's not going to be any big loss if he loses today. It's not going to be any big win for me if he wins today. I don't know him. I barely recognize him from pictures. But I'm telling you, if he were calling me up when there were problems in his household or asking me to pray for this or that, or we go have a burger together and we spend a lot of time together, I could see him when he was sick. I could see him when he's healthy. If we were that close, I would have an emotional connection, a totally different dynamic. All I've got with him right now is head knowledge. I know about him. I don't know him. I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know about Jesus. I want to know him. Are you with me? I want to know him. I want him to know me so that there's this familiarity that goes beyond just commonplace. I want to go to that destination where it's like when you're good friends with somebody, you could just sit and be quiet together. You got any friends like that? I got a couple friends like that. We actually share a lot without even words, mostly just bodily noises. That's how my good friends communicate, you know. You know, and we goof off and we laugh and we just make fun of each other. And a lot is said in subtext. It's just a lot is said. Look, a glance. That's an inside joke. I want an inside joke with Jesus. That's right. I want to know him and I want him to know me in that way. Which it all comes back to this point of hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice, I want to define it a little bit. It's not just the word hearing. It really becomes about this other word related to hearing, listening. Listening. And if I were to steal from an old Webster's definition of it, listening would mean this: to give close attention with the purpose of hearing. To give close attention with the purpose of hearing. All of the wives in the room, or girls just dating a guy, know what this is about. Hey, look, you're not even listening. Yeah, I am. No, you're watching that TV over there while we're eating, and you're not listening. Pay attention over here, you know? I mean, this is the way it works in listening. There are times when Paige will talk to me, and she knows if I'm not really tuned in because she can just tell. And she's very perceptive like that. Darn it. I wish I could just kind of, you know, unplug and zone out over here. But no, being around all these girls, raising four daughters, they all feel like they need full attention when they're talking to you. No, Dad, give me a hug. I need attention. Focus here. And I'm like, oh, gosh, why couldn't I just have boys? We just go like, and that's it. I don't know. That's just in my imagination. That's probably nothing like raising boys, is it? I don't know. I have no idea. I just got my first boy this last weekend, so this is it. I got my first boy. We're going to figure out what it's like. So far, we've communicated with just simply, So maybe it is right. But listening is so important. I want you to think about that very human interpretation of listening and apply it to your relationship with the Lord. Is it one-sided? Is it two-way communication? Is it sterile? Or is it real? Is it sterile or is it something real? The way you would talk to a friend. I'm telling you, you'd be embarrassed if you were in my private prayer times with the Lord, because some of the things I tell the Lord, you don't tell anybody except for very, very close friends. And the way I communicate, it's not eloquent. I'm not focusing on how I'm talking. I'm just sometimes verbal vomiting everything that's inside me out to the Lord. And then there are other times where I don't say anything. I'm just sitting there crying at God's presence, or I'm in stunned amazement at something that God just revealed about me, or him. Either way, I guess, with all of that stuff. I mean, sometimes what happens in that intimate place with the Lord is very private. And to sometimes to broadcast that everywhere feels insensitive to the reality of that situation. This is one of the reasons why I think it's weird that as we've had this social media environment grow, and there's been an increase in broadcasting intimate worship settings, I actually feel that it's a double-edged sword. More people are being exposed to worship in a professional sense, but they're actually desensitized to the intimate experience of worship. We've learned how to professionally worship, but we've become cold at being vulnerable and real. Why? Because that's not marketable. You can't market that. It's too embarrassing. And so I believe that listening, it really requires a purposeful attention. You've got to pay attention purposefully. And so that's probably the common denominator for these other elements that I want to talk about today. As I finish out this message, these are the things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about guidance, prompting, conviction, and his relationship with us. Guidance, prompting, conviction, and his relationship with us. These are the elements of listening and hearing God's voice that give us a sense of value to it. If we don't value listening to God, hearing God's voice, we won't do it. It takes effort. Yeah. But we need to do it. It's worth the effort, the cost involved, because of guidance, prompting, conviction, and how he relates to us. Amen. If I ask myself that question, is it important for me to know and hear God's voice and listen to him? This is what Matthew 4:4 says. Jesus answered and said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the Lord's mouth." Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What we're discussing here has a value that's tied to life. You can't do life separate from listening to the voice of the Lord. If you do try and live life separate to hearing God's voice, it's like going through life blind, and you will fall apart or fall into ditches or lead yourself blindly down alleys into great danger. Amen. If anything, you're just going to get more scars in this life that don't tie to eternal values. It's just temporary pain, and it distracts you from eternal significance. Yes. Hearing God's voice shifts everything so that you are led on a path that leads to life. This applies to everyone. If you're here today, and even if you know people who aren't serving the Lord, this message applies to them because they are living. The question is, are they living listening to God? Or are they living listening to something else? If you're listening to something else, you are headed for destruction. If you're listening to God, you're going to be guided along paths that will lead to upward things, life. And it's important. In Isaiah 30:21, it says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you that will say, go this way, walk in it." Saying the same thing I've been telling us. This is actually a great point of an evangelistic kind of a focus. When you're talking to somebody and they're telling you some of the woes in their life, and this is a great opportunity to say, well, you know what you need? Because they're sharing it for obvious reasons. They're sharing their misery with you so that you can give them wisdom maybe. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're just sharing because you're your friend. But take the opportunity to say, I know what you need. You need to hear God. You need to know what God says about this. And I'll tell you, in those moments of vulnerability, they're going to be open. And you can say, here's what God says. Turn them to Scripture and say, this is an instruction. This is a guidance. Or you just need to know God's abiding presence, that He loves and affirms and cares for you. You've got to be able to talk to Him about that. And it's an illustration here. I bought this little radio. It's a beautiful little thing. I'm going to turn it on here. Let me make sure it's all good. Oh, look at that. You're going to have to turn this up. Can you hear? I don't think you can hear. Can you hear anything? This is what life apart from Jesus sounds like.
Come on.
This is what your friends who don't know Jesus, this is what their life feels like, whether they know it or not. And they'll talk to you. They'll be like, man, my marriage stinks. And then you go, I know what you need. Or they'll be like, bro, I'm just bored with life. Maybe I need this or that, and I need a new something. No. This is what you need. You need to tune into Jesus somehow. Let me see if I can tune into Jesus.
Options through Q90 FM. We welcome you to contact us by phone or email.
Where's
found in the estate of Muriel Rukeyser.
Wait, I want to find 91.5. Where's the family? Come on, family.
Carol. But to the best of our knowledge, production team also includes Charles Monroe Kane.
Nope, that's not the family. Here's the reason why I feel like we've got to talk about this. Is because we think that it's just enough to say it's like tuning into Jesus. It's even worse than that. It's more like this. This is it. I really just wanted this $12 thing so I could break it. This is the situation. They're broken. They can't hear anything. A lot of times people, even telling them, you just need to turn to the Bible. Folks, they can't. They can't. Without the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can't make sense of Scripture. We can't hear God's voice. We've got to have the Holy Spirit moving and working in our life, or we can't hear anything. And this is important for us too, because once we're in the family of God, we've got to be filled continuously with the Holy Spirit so that we can tune in and hear God's voice. If you let the Holy Spirit inside of you be grieved, you're going to find it increasingly more difficult to tune in and hear God's voice. We have got to have a healing inside of us so that we're made brand new. Our antennas are broken. Our batteries are gone. The inside guts are all messed up. And that has to be changed. That, you don't need to talk to somebody about that. You need to bring Jesus into their life, pray for him, and see him saved, born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. They may not understand any of it, really. They might only understand a couple little things, that they need healing or help, and they turn to Jesus. You pray for them. The Holy Spirit enters their life, seals them for redemption, and now there's something inside of them working to tune into Jesus. Yes. That same thing is in each and every one of you, healed, set apart for God, but now it's nurturing that Holy Spirit, that voice, so that you will be led by the Holy Spirit and tuning into him clearer. This is so real because every one of us knows how to either neglect the Holy Spirit and suffer the consequences, or we know how to nurture the Holy Spirit. And look, I brought two. Mm-hmm. This one's actually good. So that one's busted. This was a redeemed one, okay? And we're going to leave that one right there. And that's exactly what I feel the Holy Spirit is challenging us to think of. Think of these radios. Be fixed, be healed, be made whole so that you can tune in and focus on the Lord this year. But then here's the next step. Learn how to focus in on God. Learn how to focus in on God. All right, so here's those four things that I talked about. God speaking in our lives. This is what brings value to this whole message. The first one was guidance. What is guidance? Guidance involves teaching. It involves instructions. It involves a conveying of purpose. Kind of like when you read the manual on a radio like this, it tells you what it's for. Oh, look at that. It really is busted. And it tells you all the things it can do that it was designed to do. It tells you all the things it's not designed to do. This is not a hammer. It wasn't designed to be a hammer. If you use it as a hammer, you're stupid. It's just the way it is. You were not designed for selfishness. When you use this body of yours that is no longer yours, it's God's, for something selfish, you're using it against the instructions. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to be morally pure, upright, how you have to live set apart. Your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It's someone else's. It's God's. So you can only do with it what he has told you you could do with it, what he's designed your body to be done with. This is very important for us. So there's purpose that's conveyed in this guidance. There's instructions, there's teaching, and all of this is communicated us primarily through the Word of God first. And the reason I say through the Word of God is because what Paul said to Timothy, he said, all this, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's the Word of God. He breathes it out, and it's profitable for being rebuked or convicted by this, or taught or given instructions. We have got to love the Word of God because it's his words. He's talking and communicating to us. And if you and I lack guidance, we are really lacking the Word of God in our lives. So we got to get more of this in our life. But it's just like a meal. You can only eat so much. So the question becomes, well, then what are you eating? Stop eating the things that aren't this and start eating this. That's basically what you got to do. And if we don't do that, then we're going to be lacking the Word of God in our life, and we'll be lacking guidance. This is why so many pastors are asked all the time, Pastor, what am I supposed to do about this? The reason we have that situation is because of the anemic level of the Bible in our life. We have got to come back to the Word of God. Then we won't be asking those questions anymore. We'll be asking God. God will be giving those to us. We'll be actually there, filled in our life with the Word of God, with words of instruction and wisdom for other people. So that when someone looks to you and go, well, what do I do in this situation? You can't go, maybe you should talk to my pastor. No. When you're full of the wisdom and instruction here in the Word of God, you'll have plenty left over to share with those who need to be healed, who need to be made right, so that they can start hearing the voice of the Lord too. So guidance starts in that. You know, when you're looking for instruction and guidance, this is where like topical Bibles and things like that can be a very practical help for you. If you are not familiar with topical Bibles and things like that, please grab a topical Bible or download a topical Bible on your phone, so that if you're going through a situation and you want to know what the Bible says on any given topic, you can do a quick reference. It's not the fix-all for everything. It's not a silver bullet. But what it is it's a way for you to connect quickly with very specific topics. Family, or sickness or disease, or jobs, or any kind of topic. There are stuff out there, and we've made tons of those topical resources available at our Growth Center. They seem to fly off those little shelves very quickly. And if you want more information about that, please talk to me. Another thing that adds value to the voice of the Lord is not just guidance, but now we get to this thing called prompting. What is prompting? Prompting is an inspiring thought or an impulse. It's an inspiring thought or an impulse which brings about godly actions. And it not just godly actions, but godly actions that produce God results or fruit. Amen. So a prompting, it's kind of like that picture of the angel on your shoulder and the demon on your shoulder, the devil on your shoulder, and both are trying to instill a motive or a pull you to do one thing or the other. Those are promptings. Every one of us knows what this is like in life. You get this idea out of nowhere. My wife thinks that whenever I'm stranded at the house to beware. Because at some point, I'm going to be so bored and I can't be bored. I got to do something. She's like, okay, what's the new projects that's going to happen? Because I'm bored and I'm going to get this prompting. Okay, let's tear down the front wall and let's just rebuild this over there. Okay, let's do that. And this just happens. I just get antsy and I've got to do something. And we know what prompting looks like. You get that instant idea and you wonder, oh man, is that God or not? Here's the simple thing. Go back to guidance. If the Bible is filling up your life, you're going to know quicker. You're going to know quicker if the prompting lines up with guidance from Scripture or if it doesn't. Amen. So a lot of times, I just joke with people. They'll say, Pastor, I got this idea. I don't know if it's God or not. And then they'll say something, you know. Like, I got this idea that I was supposed to give $100 to this sweet lady with her kids. And they just look like they didn't have much. And stuff. But I didn't know if that was God or just my head. And I said, bottom line, yeah, it's God. Go with it. Well, how do you know? Well, the devil doesn't tell you to give $100 to a woman in need with kids. It just doesn't. Well, it's that simple? I'm like, well, why make it more complicated?
Right.
You know, if you get that idea, boom, I'm supposed to go tell somebody, hey, God loves you and he really cares for you. What's wrong with that?
Right.
Well, what if it's not God, if it's just my mind? Well, then you got a really good mind.
Right.
Go and do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I just got this idea to pray for somebody. Ooh, the devil probably told you that. Devil probably told you that. That prompting was evil, you know? And the next time you get that prompting, it's like, I think I got to share this testimony. Oh, shame on you for listening to the devil. No! It's so funny how the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we just come up with crazy excuses why to ignore it. And I got this prompting. We, at the wedding, after the wedding with Bree and Brad, Bree, my oldest daughter, Brad, the new guy that we're still debating if we like him or not. No, we love him. So he's now accepted in the family. We get done with the wedding, and then my dad calls me, and he says, Ben, I need your help. I said, what, Dad? We never filled out the marriage license. And I went, praise God. No, I did not say that. I said, you didn't fill out the marriage? You had one job, Dad. One job. Make them kiss and then fill out the paperwork. That's it. He's like, can you do it? I said, yes, I will forge your name and we'll do it. So we did. Yeah, I'm confessing right now. Look at this. This is like, everybody's like, oh my gosh. My wife says it's not illegal if you have permission. Sorry, look at everybody. Anybody that is a stickler on rules is like, oh my gosh, I'm finding another church. This is so wrong. And so then this is what we did. So then we showed up to the barbecue place the day later or whatever it was. And we're there at the barbecue place. We got the marriage license. We pulled out the marriage license. We fill it all out. It's official. Technically, they just got married at the barbecue place. And so I had a prompting right then and there. This has got to be special. So I basically told him, I said, we should announce that you just got married right now here. And you could see in my new son-in-law's face, that's not God. I think that's exactly the expression. Jeff is right there. There was this sense of, no, make it stop. I don't know what's about to happen. Well, it happened. I just stood right on the table, got everybody's attention, and then showed him the marriage license and said they just got married. They all clapped, except for the one guy in the back corner who said, I'm sorry. That was a prompting. And you know what? I look back on it fondly, and we'll probably be talking about that for years to come because it's something special. It's something sweet. The prompting of the Holy Spirit's voice, though, is something you've got to be comfortable with responding to and expecting it. So that little impulse, I should go to church today. Yeah, that was probably Satan telling you that. No, that's God. Any of the things that lead to godly actions, godly fruit, and godly results, go with it.
Yes.
Well, maybe it's the devil's scheme to make me do too many things. Yeah, that's the devil's scheme to make you do too many following the voice of God things. Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. I think I read that in Screwtape Letters. I think that's exactly what Wormwood is all about. Let's make them do Jesus things. more Jesus things. No. Does anybody know Screwtape Letters? Anyone? Okay, all right. Okay, the majority of people went, no, what the heck is that? It's the fifth gospel. You guys, I can't believe you haven't read that. C.S. Lewis, Screwtape Letters. It's kind of his imagination at work talking about what the kingdom of darkness is doing to try and destroy us. And it's awesome. You get an inside view. And so that's the prompting. And we need that. The next thing, guidance, prompting. The next thing is conviction. Conviction is important. It's something that we try to avoid because there's an ugly side of conviction and there's one that's a little more palatable that we like to promote, but both are very valuable. The ugly side is the brokenness and the humility that comes from being wrong and it coming to light. No one likes to fail. No one likes to get it wrong. No one likes to be told that's sin and you to agree with that and go, that's sin. No one likes that feeling. I don't like that feeling. I have never liked that feeling. What I like is the clean that comes after. Yeah. That I love. But the foreboding of about to be exposed and have your heart exposed and everybody go, ah! No one wants that. In fact, there's a scripture verse that says, men like darkness because their deeds are evil. And the reason for it is because when many of you step into the light, they see everything. Right. Yeah, this is why strip joints are dark. This is why men do things at night alone under the computers or the phone. You don't do it in the broad daylight in front of everyone. Hey, kids, look what I'm looking at on my phone. No, do it secretly. Men like darkness because their deeds are evil. Conviction brings things that are hidden into the light, and it feels painful and abrasive. When your pride gets exposed, it feels very painful. All of this, I hate that about conviction, but I love what it brings about afterwards. The positive side is this strong sense of truth that you believe and you're willing to die for. I mean, hang that gold star in your window because you believe in the American dreams and for people who have laid their lives down. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful thing. We have these convictions that are deeply held. Here in Wisconsin, boy, we have strong convictions about our families. We love our kids. We'll do anything for our kids. I guess in other places of the country, they're kind of like kids are, what are kids? I don't know. Here, we just love families, man. It's all about the families, everything. We have strong convictions. We idealize it. We put them on pedestals. And it's promoting it. So there's the positive sides of convictions. Bottom line is this. The Holy Spirit brings a connection from the emotional to the truth that is being told. So whenever the Bible is being read, you're looking at the guidance. Here's the thing. You've heard it said, the longest distance is from the heart to the head, right? Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that phrase often. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. In other words, it brings that gap to nothing so that you feel what you know. Yeah. And when you feel what you know, things happen. Yeah. This is why I say when you know you've been forgiven much, you praise much. Yeah. You have great gratitude. Yes. People who can't praise and worship, they've forgotten what they've been forgiven of. And if you have a hard time worshiping the Lord or getting into praising the Lord, then you need to get in touch with how you were a sinner saved by grace. You're a wretch, and then God made you good. Or there's nothing desirable in you except for what God made you into. You're His. And that's all beautiful. But if we forget that stuff, then it's hard for us to enter into worship. And so conviction is that emotional connection between God's word and our mind. Repentance, clarity, that conviction brings a clarity about God's truth and the things that he says. You know, there's times where one of my favorite quotes was from Oliver Wendell Holmes, and it says that he wouldn't give a fig for simplicity this side of complexity. Follow me. I won't give a fig, a little fruit thingy, right, for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my life for simplicity on the other side of complexity. What does that mean? That means that Conviction clarifies the truths that you hold. And a lot of times that comes through adversity or difficulty, a testing. And so it's just very true in our life. The convictions that I hold have been fire tested. So when my kids ask me questions, I go, no, I believe very strongly about this. And they'll say, well, Dad, that's not a big deal. Well, you haven't been where I've been. You haven't seen what I've seen. I have been tested in these areas. This is why I'm willing to fight for this. I mean, and it's so real. So on issues of morality today, people who are real laissez-faire and they just don't care, it's because they haven't lived much and seen the destruction of laissez-faire life that just lets them do whatever. But people who value life hate AIDS and STDs. They hate the consequences of homosexual activity. They hate all the things that God hates because sincere love hates what is evil. But a lot of times we can't see the evil when it's packaged in worldly love and worldly phrases. And we're so corrupted, it's hard for us to fight to get to the place where you can say with all your heart, no, this is wrong. And you stand on that conviction, but that's the Holy Spirit giving guidance. And so a lot of times hearing the voice of the Lord is going through those seasons of real testing so that you can come out the other side with deep convictions. Mm-hmm. I have a deep conviction that I will be married to one woman for the rest of my life. Amen. Petraea hopes it's her. She knows it's her. She's watching right now at home. Everybody just wave at the camera. Hi, slacker. She's at home watching. She's like, no, she's probably going, oh my gosh, he just said that right there in front of everybody. And I love you, babe. And I have that conviction because I hate divorce. I hate all the things that happen because of divorce. As a pastor, I've talked with so many families. It has never been a good thing. I don't care how miserable it is. In my opinion, it's just never good. But in spite of that, God still loves us. It's amazing to me how God demonstrates again, even in this moment right now, how over and over again we screw up, but God says, hey, I'm not throwing you away. I don't care what you've done. There's a new day. Let's move on from here. But I'll tell you, when you go through those seasons, if I were to ever have walked through a divorce, I would, that next time, I'd say, you know what? I am building my life on the rock, and I am never moving from this conviction. And it's like, I don't care. This is why I joke with my wife and say things like, hey, you can try and leave, but I'm going to chase you down. There's no way. I'm not going to go through that. And you and I have got to build those convictions into our life. Amen?
Amen.
The very last thing is guidance, prompting, convictions, and then relates. The voice of God relating to us. Ooh. How can I cash this in the right way? We have to cash it in a relationship. I can tell you, when you know someone really well, you can read between the lines when they're happy or when they're sad or when it's time to leave the party or they're still staying at the party. And I know with my wife, there are ways where I can just see in her eyes, okay, I got to do something. Something's got to change. You know, I just know her well enough. Okay, she's not happy. And it puts me in action mode. I got to do something. What are we going to do? And then we do whatever it is. Why? She just communicated to me, I'm not happy. Something's wrong. The Holy Spirit in relationship to us is talking to us in that kind of a way. What does that feel like? It feels like your inner conscience is being pricked. Your inner knower is being moved. There's something in the subtext of your life that you're moved with. This is why sometimes I've been in places where there's nothing in and of itself that's evil or wrong, but something in my spirit is grieved, or I just feel, that's the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is saying, not now, son. This is not for you. You got to do this. Is it like a prompting? Yeah, it's kind of like a prompting. Is it like one of these other things? Maybe I find a scripture verse later on that backs up why I felt that way. Maybe it's something else. It's proving a conviction. But bottom line is, it's my friend just said, I'm not happy. And I went, okay, well then let's just do something. Let's modify, let's change. Are you that close yet with the voice of the Lord that if the voice of the Lord says, this isn't what I'm happy with, this is not what I'm good, can you say, all right, I need to change.
Amen.
This year, You have got to get closer to the Lord so that when he goes, you know, and you can respond. Now, the other side of this relationship is something else that I feel is very, very important. There's times where you're going through something very, very difficult. I remember one of my good friends was in college and went through a real dark season. We was praying about some very specific things, and man, it was a struggle in prayer, and I was learning a lot. And this good friend, Frank, and then another good friend of mine, Jason, I came into the office one day, and you know, I'm just a noob at church, and I'm in the middle of Bible school, just probably 3 or 4 months away from graduating, and I'm thinking, man, I was just stressing over all these different things, and I began to just cry, and I was overwhelmed. And Frank, in the next office, heard me, and so Frank then signals to the other guy, Jason, it was one of these things. That's all it was. And the next thing you know, I'm in my office. I thought I was by myself. Felt one hand on my shoulder, and then felt another hand on my shoulder. For the next 2 hours, we prayed. Amen. We talked. We prayed. We talked. We prayed. I cried. They prayed. I kind of prayed. And we just went on and on until finally all those tears began to shift, and there was no more weight, and there was just joy. And, I mean, this has been 30 years almost, and I'm looking back to those times, and what was it about that? Their presence, their ability to just invite the Holy Spirit into that room was a tangible expression of what I'm talking about right now. God relating to you. It will be as real as someone walking into the room. It will be as real as his hand touching your shoulder. It will be as real as a loved one giving you an embrace and saying, it's going to be okay. See, this is why listening to God is so important, because when you're in the middle of all hell breaking loose, you need that still small voice right there. You need that arm around you. You need that hand on your shoulder. That's happened so many times in my life where I felt the Holy Spirit come and just begin to speak and relate. When I say he's speaking, what am I saying? I'm saying he's speaking peace. He's speaking affirmation and comfort. Who doesn't want to hear these things? Right now, we live in a generation that is desperate for relationship. They have open doors to have communication and connection with all kinds of people, but none of those will deliver what they're really aching for. Acceptance, belonging. I just saw an advertisement for a virtual girlfriend. I was like, wow, maybe I'll try that out. No. Look, everybody's like, no. Oh, and if you haven't seen those, you probably will. They're popping up everywhere. Why? Because this generation is aching for a sense of acceptance and belonging. You know the tagline on the advertisement is, they will always accept you. So you have a promise of a relationship, a virtual one, that you'll never be rejected. Well, duh, it's imagination. It's fake. It's not real. You get to create it yourself, but you'll never be rejected. You know, at the end of that, what you'll experience is you would experience an emptiness that I couldn't explain. Yes. Because it will never provide what God has intended a human being to provide.
That's right.
I mean, we need each other.
Yes,
from Genesis until Revelation, it's not good for man to be alone. You need other people, but that comes in a way where you've got to be with them. The Holy Spirit is a person. That's why the Holy Spirit is referred to with personal pronouns. So the Holy Spirit is going to come into your life at different times and be there when you need a person.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
When I was in military school, and I would hide out in the garments facility because of the abuse and different things that were going on. Some of you heard those stories. There'd be times where I would have to hide out in there so that I wouldn't get beat up by a certain group of people. So I would go and I'd hide in there. In those moments, I instead of being licking my wounds and being all scared, I began to just pray or worship. And I would sit in there for an hour and 10 minutes about, and then I'd go on to the next class. And then I would somehow skip the whole beating, if I was lucky. But I felt the presence of the Lord in those times.
Amen.
And you go, well, that's crazy. But man, it was real. It was real. So when my folks said, you don't need to go back to that school anymore, I said, Mom, Dad, I started this program. I'm going to finish this program. And I remember my dad going, are you sure? I was like, yes, I can do this. I don't know why I was built like that, but I was like, I can do this. And I'm glad I stuck it out. I'm glad I did it. I learned things. You guys are learning things in your life right now. You're learning how to relate with the voice of the Lord. So whatever you're going through, if it's one of those difficult times, this might be the season where you need to do what I'm going to end this message. I'm going to invite Amy to come back up. And I believe hearing the voice of God is pictured as simply as this radio here and people drawing near to listen. I got this image this morning. One of those like circa 40s era, you know, big home radio systems where they were all tuning in to hear the play-by-play action of a boxing match or the next, you know, inning in a awesome, you know, World Series, you know, event or something like this, or Churchill is just giving his speech, or, you know, so-and-so is just, and everybody is gathered in the living room and the warm sound of that radio is glowing and humming and they're listening as every word is coming over the wave. And I believe the Bible says very clearly, draw near to me. I'm going to draw near to you. Draw near to me. So think about that as a metaphor for your own life and listening to the Lord this year. How can you do this? How can you get close to the radio? How can you get in and hear God's voice? What is it going to take? What are you going to do? Some of you might need to fast. Some of you might need to spend some extended times in your prayer closet with the Lord. Some of you might need to start a new Bible program and study the Word like you've never done before. Some of you might need to get into a discipleship relationship and start talking the Word with someone and be with someone. Some of you might need to find a new way to serve so that you can feel a sense of belonging in the body of Christ. You need to have that. There's so many ways in which we can draw near. You can draw near in worship. It's one of the primary ways. When it's time to worship, you put your worship mindset on and you go, I don't care if anybody else is doing it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to lift my hands. Why? The Bible says lift my hands. I'm going to bow. Bible says bow. I'm going to lay prostrate before. I'm going to do that. Bible says shout. I'm going to shout. Bible says dance. I'm going to dance. Some of us need to just be that simple. Draw near to the Lord, because when you do that, He draws near to you. And remember, guidance, conviction, all these beautiful things that God brings to your life when you listen to Him. When you listen to Him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you for the words of life that you give. Your words are more important to us than the food that we eat. Your words are life. This morning, let our hearts respond to the call to draw near to you. Like the psalmist would answer, you know, you said, seek you, and my soul responds with, I'm going to seek you. Lord, you've told us already that we need to focus on you, to fix our eyes on you. You're telling us in this moment to draw near and listen to your voice. Lord, let us draw near and listen to your voice. Father God, let us in this church be like Cornelius and his family and friends, who sent for you to speak to his life. And he gathered all of his family and friends together. Church, I'm referring to Acts 10, 30 through 33. He said, we're all here, present before God, to hear, to listen intently. Lord, let us gather in your presence to listen attentively. Lord God, this week, begin to impress upon our hearts how our life has to line up with our intention to listen. If there is anything in us that is making it difficult for us to draw near, would you highlight that so that we could begin to remove those obstacles? God, would you help us to reorient the habits in our life so that we have a habit of listening now? Guard our hearts from being foolish listeners. Ecclesiastes 5:1 says this, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen so that you don't offer sacrifices of fools, because fools don't know they're doing evil. They keep doing evil. What this Ecclesiastes verse is saying is your life has got to match your intentions to listen and to draw near. You can't do religious things without living in a right way with the Lord. So let's just draw near as a whole life. God's not asking for perfection. He's asking for honesty. He's asking for you to be real. Holy Spirit, make us real today, that we would draw near and hear your voice. Oh, Lord, I pray that those realities of guidance and promptings, convictions, and your presence, your relationship, that it would be all real for us in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. We're going to close the service with prayer. I'm going to open up the altar. Oh, bless you, Lord.